Well, there's been a lot of talk about how much to pay workers with insecure jobs and if they deserve things like sick pay. It comes as five cyclists have died in accidents delivering food, not to mention revelations of nursing home staff working in multiple facilities to make ends meet. And of course, major companies like Qantas looking to outsource jobs that were once full-time. So, what's the future work going to look like? Do we risk creating a working underclass? Well, the average food delivery person makes just $10 an hour after costs. They sit around waiting for jobs, then risk their lives to deliver the food hot. Former Liberal leader John Hewson, is it overstating the situation to describe it as Dickensian or even modern-day slavery?
No, it's certainly a very significant shift in the workforce and the nature of work, the so-called gig economy, you know, where people are more mostly sort of hiring out their services on a short-term basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no guarantee of continuity of work. It's a very different world. I think a lot of our industrial relations structures and wage structures have been built up on the old idea. I mean, I remember my father worked for the same company for 45 years and used to enjoin me to get a job and keep a job at all costs.
Yeah.
You know?
Mate, is it a crueler world?
It's much less considerate. It's much less sensitive to the needs of individuals. And, you know, you notice the current IR debate where there is a move by the unions to recognise that the casualisation, as they say, of the workforce has really become extreme. And there are a lot of people who are wanting more work. And there are a lot of people who want some of the benefits of as if they were fully employed. I mean, you notice the recent unemployment data, while the rate has sort of gone down a bit, the underemployment rate, those who can't get enough work and not as much work as they want, has gone up.
Yeah.
And I think that's telling you the nature of the shift that's underway.
So will the government's changes to casual work make it better?
Well, that's still a matter of debate because we don't really know the final form of the legislation. Obviously, some of it was negotiated with the unions and some of it was dropped on them. I think that reality needs to cut through there and say, okay, what is your question, what is the future work going to be like? How much more are we going to rely on people more on contract rather than, for services as required? And the delivery example is a good example, but if you take it more broadly, it can go across a lot of sectors of the economy. And some of the sectors that are traditionally heavily dependent on casuals, it'll be probably even more so. Things like tourism, hospitality, you can see the potential.
Yeah.
And so they need a wage structure that is fair. And one of the problems, I guess one of the things that happened during the COVID response was that, of course, we introduced things like JobKeeper, which the government used to sort of pay a basic level of income to certain people. Unfortunately, wasn't universally applied. There are at least a million casuals, for example, and itinerant workers who didn't get it.
Yeah.
Universities didn't get it. The Catholic Church did get it, which has always struck me as odd. There's priests queuing up for the money. But, this is pointing to the fact that people are starting to focus on the need for a better, a different wage structure, a fairer wage structure.
So do you reckon
that perhaps guarantees a basic level of income to people who do work?
Do you reckon the economy can afford to give casual sick leave?
Well, the structure's been built up, of course, that they were paid more than an hourly rate or a daily rate or a weekly rate because they didn't get those other benefits. They didn't get sick leave, they didn't get holiday pay, didn't get long service leave and so on. So their pay was grossed up. Now there's a feeling that, well, even grossed up, that's not enough.
Yeah, seems a bit of a furphy to me, does it? Is it?
Well, yeah, you can argue it both ways, but obviously the point of view you're taking there, they've already had those benefits and now they want security of employment, where they deliberately signed up, not to have security of employment, but to be casual and to have the flexibility of being a casual worker. But somewhere between a permanent worker and the old concept of a casual worker is where we're going to end up, I think, where we look at to what extent people should get additional benefits or whether they just paid a higher hourly rate to compensate for the fact that they're not going to get them. And that's the way the system was built up.
Yeah.
But, of course, wages have been flat now for years.
Yeah.
And so there's been a... And yet the profit share has run away. And so there's a feeling of a massive feeling of inequity, and yeah, how do you raise the bottom up? You know, that's the point.
Also, mate, COVID has given heaps of companies an excuse to outsource workers, getting the same work done just cheaper. Do you think we risk creating a working underclass?
I think we do. I mean, the extent of underemployment is such a significant problem. It's much more than the measured rate of unemployment. The numbers are a bit messed up right now because of the impact of JobKeeper and the increase in JobSeeker. So a lot of people left the workforce. They just don't get counted as unemployed. When you get the transition back from JobKeeper, where you cut it, the government's cutting it and then is going to eliminate it in March, we'll see the impact, whether those employers actually keep those people on. Now, the government's not paying for them is a very real question. And in the process, as you say, that's many of them have learnt how to better manage their workforce from their point of view. Not sign people up for permanent employment. You notice that the number of full-time jobs has gone down while the number of casual jobs has gone up. That's certainly indicative of what's happened as a trend in COVID.
God bless you, mate. Thanks so much for talking to us tonight.
Thanks, Bill. Nice to talk to you again.